We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So glad to have you with us today. Go ahead and write down our telephone number. You're going to need this. 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. We'll get to Boris Johnson in just a little bit. I'm not terribly surprised. The conservatives have gone off the rails over in the UK, and it is what it is. But I want to talk about an issue that's impacting us a little bit closer to home. So the nation's largest teachers union, the National Education Association, is proposing a resolution. They want to change the word mother, and they want to change the word birthing parent. This is absolutely, absolutely insane. The National Education Association Teachers Union proposing a resolution that would change the word mother to birthing parent. And this is all at the expense of biological moms who are out there giving birth to babies. According to Fox News Channel, the National Education Association says that this resolution would encourage teachers and contracts with school districts to become more inclusive of the transgender community. Quote, using this contract language, members need not worry about how a Board of Education solicitor defines maternity leave, mother, and or father. The language is an inclusive reflection of how the LGBTQIA members build families. That's according to the resolution. Now, Tiffany Justice is with a group called Moms for Liberty, and she's calling the NEA, the National Education Association, the K-12 cartel. She says they're holding parents and children hostage to a radical agenda. Quote, we believe in American teachers, and we don't believe that the lack of focus that the union has on children is represented. Quote, normal people don't use the term chest feeding or birthing person. Do you know anybody in your circle of influence, your realm of influence, who actually uses those terms? I mean, just take last Sunday at church. The sermon has just wrapped up, and you're having a little coffee in the lobby of the church, and you've got some neighbors, and one of them just gave birth. Do you say, oh, this is Sally. She's a chest feeder. No. Do you know anybody that talks like that? Just like the people who use the term, you know, whether the left wants us to call them Latinx. Nobody in the Hispanic community uses that terminology. But this is all a part of getting you to accept this transgender make-believe world. There's no such thing as transgenderism, ladies and gentlemen. And I know this is very hard for some people on the left to understand. And quite frankly, a growing and a frightening number of people, even in the conservative world, they want to bow down and bend over to the transgender movement. And it's very disheartening to see ministers You had a guy that, a very prominent pastor in North Carolina, a guy by the name of J.D. Greer, and he pastors one of the largest churches in America. And he's actually out there advocating for what he calls pronoun hospitality. So in other words, when you go up to somebody who's a guy and he wants to go by female pronouns, that you should just humor the guy. This is coming from the pulpit of a major church in America. And now you've got the National Education Association, ladies and gentlemen, saying, well, you know what? We no longer live in a society where just women give birth. Now, men can give birth. Just ask Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who is now the transportation secretary, who had to take maternity leave, who was actually admitted into the hospital on the day of his child's birth as if he was literally giving birth from his loins. They want you to literally believe that Mayor Pete Buttigieg was chest feeding his own child. I mean, that's what they want you to believe. And that's why the National Education Association is pushing this on school children now. They literally want you to believe that men can give birth to babies. They want you to suspend reality. They want you to ignore science. They want you to ignore biology and accept whatever make-believe world people are living in. And I guarantee you that teachers across America are going to buy into this, and that school districts around America are going to buy into this. 844-747-8868. Do you have a problem with this? Do you have a problem with a national teachers union, a cartel, a cabal that is out there forcing a radical agenda? And folks, it is a radical agenda. Just even a couple of years ago, did you think that we'll be having conversations where you're redefining what it means to be a mother in America? This is something that is just exploding onto the scene here. But again, anybody who objects to this. So if you've got these radical, and by the way, the average LGBT person in America, they just want to live their lives. They want to be left alone. That's it. But you've got these radicals out there. These radicals in the mainstream media and in Hollywood, in the entertainment world, in Washington, D.C., and they want to shove this agenda down your throats. And if you do not bow down and agree with everything coming out of that movement, then you are a racist, you're a xenophobe, you're a homophobe, you're a transphobe, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And dare I say this? Because there are some out there who, if you oppose same-sex marriage or whatever, that makes you a horrible human being. Well, I would remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that it was none other than Barack Hussein Obama himself who opposed same-sex marriage for most of his adult life until he found that it was politically expedient to change his opinion. So just some thoughts here as we're beginning the program today. We talk about the radical transformation of America. Well, it's happening in our public schools. And unless we pull the kids out of the public schools and start homeschooling or getting them into good Christian private schools, we're not going to be able to change the direction of this country. We've got the opportunity to stop it. The question is, will we actually stop it? 844-747-8868. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
folks. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. And I do want to apologize that we had a little technical glitch there at the top of the show. But we've got everything worked out, and we're very happy to be with you today. So the father of this terrorist who opened fire on the 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois, that guy's speaking out. Folks, I'm just telling you, the kid's had a horrible family situation. And we went over some of that on yesterday's program. But hearing from the dad, this guy's a nut job himself. So his name is Robert Cremo Jr., and he's hired one of R. Kelly's lawyers to help with the aftermath of this horrible terrorist attack on the 4th of July. So the father is the one who helped sign off on the gun ban because his son was not 21 at the time. And the dad is denying any responsibility. He says that this is all on his son. They had nothing to do with this. And he thinks his son had some sort of a psychotic break. Now, it seems to me when your kid shows up for dinner and he's got a tattoo on his face, that's a pretty good indication that something's not going well. There's clearly something not right in the household. We know the husband and wife have been estranged, and that she had it not necessarily custody, but the son lived with the mother. The father, by the way, a one-time mayoral candidate, he used to run a sandwich shop. And a lot of people are upset because he's the guy that sponsored his son's gun license application. So the question is, does the father bear any responsibility at all? I mean, they're interviewing this guy, and the father is like in la-la land. But his son, and this is what gets me. So in 2019, the son was labeled a clear and present danger by police because he was threatening to kill his relatives. And the father says, well, you know, that's how kids are. They just kind of go through these stages. Really, just curious here. Have your children been through a stage where they threaten to shoot you and to kill you? The father says, this is not on me. The kid bought everything on his own. The guns are registered in his name. He goes on to say, they make me out like I groomed him to do all of this. Well, maybe you did, sir. Maybe you did. Quote, I've been here my whole life. I'm going to stay here, hold my head up high because I didn't do anything wrong. Aside from raising a monster, sir, yeah, I think there's plenty of wrong you did. And then the mother is apparently even a worse whack job than the father is. The father says he is still fully supportive of his son. And he hopes that his son gets a long sentence in jail. Well, quite frankly, what they ought to do, once they find this guy guilty, is they ought to drag him out and he should be executed on the town square. That's what ought to happen. Maybe that'll knock some sense into some of these would-be terrorists out there. The father goes on to tell the New York Post, quote, I'm speechless. It just took me by such surprise. It's horrible. It's surreal. I mean, I essentially lost a son, too. It sucks. No, sir, you did not lose a son. Your son is going to be in the local jail. You get to go and visit your son. You know, it troubles me that we've got parents that are not doing their job in this country. Parents who ought to be raising their kids, ladies and gentlemen, but instead they coddle their kids, they give them everything they want. It seems to me if the father knew that his son had threatened to kill all of the family members, if the son had threatened to commit suicide, it seems to me that you would be suspect when he asks to go out and buy guns. And maybe, just maybe, the father should have said, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Nope, 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 nope. Not going to sponsor. No, not going there. But the father didn't do that. So the question is, do the parents of this monster, do they bear any responsibility for what happened, or is this solely on the gunman himself? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Meanwhile, you've got all these people out there saying, we got to get the guns, got to get the guns. May I just say something about this whole controversy surrounding guns in America? I don't think we got a gun problem in America. When you look at these kinds of attacks, they are incredibly rare. Incredibly rare. And as tragic as they are, the fact of the matter is, this has nothing to do with gun ownership. By and large, an overwhelming percentage of gun owners in America are law-abiding citizens. An overwhelming number. So you take all the guns away from the law-abiding citizens, what happens? Well, you've only got bad guys with guns, which is exactly what happened in Highland Park, Illinois, where people are not allowed to own certain kinds of firearms. So I'm not surprised at what happened. The only person with a gun was the shooter, was the terrorist. But when you step back and look, I get it, even Fox News is climbing on this bandwagon, but when you step back and when you actually look at the facts, when you look at the numbers, you realize, well, wait a second, yeah, these are horrible, terrible tragedies. But ultimately, these things are very rare. Ultimately, we do not have a gun problem in America. By the way, John Hinckley, remember that guy? The guy who tried to kill President Ronald Reagan? Here's what he had to say, cut six.
I certainly don't think the mentally ill should have access to guns. I mean, that's kind of obvious. I mean, background checks are good and waiting periods are good. I mean, I think there's too many guns in America. It's the climate of the country right now is not good, and it's not good to have so many guns.
And coming from you, that's quite a statement.
Well, I hope it is, because that's the way I feel.
Okay, why wasn't this guy executed? Seriously, he tried to assassinate a president of the United States. Now he's a free man. By the way, he says he's this guy. He says that he's going to become a musician. That's what he wants to do. Cut number seven.
You're in my dreams most every night.
Okay, enough of that. Yeah, all right, thank you. All right, that's good. He might want to consider maybe a job down at the 7-Eleven. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Jeez, Alou. But again, we live in a society right now where criminals are coddled. There are no punishments. And maybe, just maybe, if we got back to executing people who were, in fact, guilty of committing heinous crimes, and we put that out on the public square, maybe, just maybe, people would think twice about committing these kinds of atrocities. By the way, new CNN report out, 88% of the country thinks we're headed in the wrong direction. Check this out. Cut four.
The polls show that Americans seem to be losing confidence in the country. A new Gallup poll shows that just 38% of U.S. adults say they are extremely proud to be American. That's the lowest point of the extremely proud rating since Gallup started asking that question back in 2001. Same poll shows the confidence in major institutions at the lowest point since they've been asking the questions. A Monmouth University poll found that 88% of Americans say the country is heading in the wrong direction.
And most of the polling data out there reflects that. Bad news for the Democrats, which is great news for America. According to Rasmussen, they've got a new poll out. Only 29% of Americans want Biden to run again in 2024. Only 29%. By the way, we've got some video up on the website. You got to see this. Trump unveiling his brand new airplane. So they did a complete overhaul of Trump Force One, gave it a new paint job, spiffed up the engines. Beautiful airplane. And as you're watching the video, there's something in the background. And you can see, you got to go check this out. But in the background, there are Trump 2024 flags that are hanging in the back of this airline hangar. So a lot of folks wondering, is the president teasing us here? You think the president's getting ready? You know, the New York Times says he was going to announce very, very soon. The president pushed back on that. But what do you say, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com. That's where you'll be able to find that video. You got to check it out and check out the very ending. See what I'm talking about.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There is a new survey from Gallup that I am really staggered by. I very rarely do I get surprised by a poll like this, but the folks over at Gallup decided to ask Americans what they thought about the Holy Bible and whether or not the Bible is the literal Word of God. A record low 20% of Americans now say the Bible is the literal Word of God. That was down from 24% the last time they asked the question in 2017. It's about half of what it was at its high points in 1980 and 1984. Now, a new high of 29% say the Bible is, quote, a collection of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. 29%. They say it's the first time in American history that more Americans view the Bible as not divinely inspired. The largest percentage, 49%, choose the middle alternative, which is roughly in line with where it's been in previous years. So there's been a big shift here in how people view the Bible. What about you? Do you believe the Bible is the literal Word of God, or do you believe it's a collection of fables and history and moral precepts? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Protestants are most likely to view the Bible as literally true. I have to imagine evangelicals would be the largest percentage out of that group. Almost two-thirds of Catholics say that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but every word should not be taken literally. All right, well, when you get to that point, the question is, who gets to decide what you should take literally and what you should not take literally? And I'll go a step further. When you start telling people that you can't believe the first book of the Bible, that God did not create the heavens and the earth in 7 days, or it was just, it really wasn't a 24-hour day period, or that God really didn't create male and female, they just sort of spontaneously combusted. No, when you get to that point, how can you possibly believe anything that follows the book of Genesis? Again, if you're going to cast doubt on who made the heavens and the earth, then everything else is subject for interpretation. You either believe or you don't. And I think one of the big problems that we've had in our society is we just pick and choose. 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. According to Gallup, interpretation of the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, of the Christian religion has varied widely across time and across religious traditions. They've been asking Americans specifically about their views on a literal interpretation of the Bible since 1976. Now, the shift in attitudes about the Bible is not an isolated phenomenon. It comes even as a number of indicators show a decline in overall religiosity in the U.S. adult population. In other words, more Americans are not going to church. They are not involved in a church. There have been declines in a formal identification with a religion, self-reported membership in a church, self-reported religious service attendance, and a decline in the belief in God. And I wonder how much of that has to do with the China virus, where so many of our churches were shut down, and the pastors were more than willing to shut the doors, and they moved all these services to digital, to online. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Paul on the line, WDUN. Paul, are you surprised by these findings?
I am, and it's really saddening. I believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and but if you know, we're in a spiritual funk, like what you say. If you was a smart devil playing the devil advocate here, you would discredit the Word of God. You would bring anything in there that we're all fine, everybody's going to meet there one day, you know? And that would really, he's trying to discredit the Word of God, which really destroys the fabric of society. It destroys everything about America, because the America was founded upon the principles of the Word of God.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, every single one of our founding documents is flavored with those Judeo-Christian teachings and precepts, and if you take that out, well, you know, you got chaos, and Lord knows we've got a lot of chaos in America right now.
Yes, sir, we certainly do, and even in the church, as far as a lot of the church folks, you would find out that a lot of them, you know, they're waning on their belief that's the only way to heaven, and the real church that really believes. If they would rise up and get out there, we could stop a lot of this stuff. I mean, we could really knock it backwards, because the real God will back that.
Oh, I have no doubt about that, Paul. And again, I don't think it's even a matter of, you know, again, establishing an official religion of America. We are a Christian nation. And if we follow the precepts and the teachings of the good book, then I think we're going to be okay as a country. But if we don't, if we shove those aside, if we don't respect those traditions, then I think we've got a big problem on our hands. And that's why we've got a big problem on our hands.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely correct. Keep on, Brother Todd. You're doing a fantastic job.
All right, Paul, thank you for that comment there. 844-747-8868. I'm just surprised by that. And it's, you know, you can drive around. I don't know what it's like in your neighborhoods, but a lot of people did not return to church once they reopened the church doors. And a lot of those big mega churches around the Memphis area, a lot of empty seats, my friends, a lot of empty seats. That tells me that we got a big problem on our hands here in this country. You know, all this week, Greta Van Susteren is on Newsmax. She's looking at America after Roe. Find out how abortion will change the 2022 and 2024 midterm elections and presidential elections. What kind of impact it's going to have for Donald Trump, and a lot more. Greta on every night, 6 o'clock Eastern. Her new show, The Record, with Greta Van Susteren. She leads a great night on Newsmax with Rob Schmidt exposing Biden's economic train wreck. Eric Bolling warning about the dangers of a world war with Ukraine. Millions of people now making the switch to Newsmax. It's on all major cable systems and streaming platforms. And by the way, you can also download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. You can watch it anytime, anywhere. So tune in to Newsmax tonight and every day. You can make the switch today to Newsmax. By the way, before we go to break, I want to throw out a little trivia question this hour. We got a busy, packed show, and I want to throw out a little trivia question, and this is going to be a fun one. Grace Baker, I stumped you on this one.
You did, and I consider myself to be okay at trivia, but this one was a tough one.
This is, I'm telling you, this is a great question, and somebody's going to be able to figure this one out.
We got a smart audience.
It's a doozy. Here we go. Who is the longest married presidential couple in U.S. history? the longest married presidential couple in U.S. history? Give us a call if you know the answer. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
All right, people, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It's going to be a long day, Grace Baker. After doing our three-hour national show, border-to-border, coast-to-coast, across the Fruited Plain, I'll be filling in for Lars Larson on his national show. We're doing 6 hours.
The man, the myth, the legend.
The 6 hours of radio. I may need a nap in between
and a lot of coffee
today. And a lot of coffee. Or iced tea.
That'll do.
All right. Let's get to the phones. A lot of people want to try their hand at trivia. Terry in North Carolina, WSIC. You know the answer. What is the answer to the question, the longest married couple in presidential history?
Well, like I told Grace, it was just basically a guess, but I guessed it'd be Ronald and Nancy Reagan.
Oh, no, Terry. Good try, though. Let's go to Laura in Ohio. Laura, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful.
Good. Now, Laura, I understand you're out and about. What's on your agenda for the day?
I am delivering mail.
Is that right? So you work for the post office?
Yes, I'm a rural mail carrier. I'm out in the country.
Oh, good. Man, what a...
I drive around for 4 hours every day and never leave town.
I love it. What a great job you've got, Laura. All right, let's try to win you a prize here. We're looking for the presidential couple that's been married the longest. Who do you think it is?
Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter.
Yeah, Laura. That's right, Laura. You're the winner. By the way, today is the 76th wedding anniversary of Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter. They were married on this day back in 1946. Can you imagine that, Laura?
Wow, no. My husband and I will be celebrating 40 years in about 3 weeks. We thought that was a long time.
Wow. Well, congratulations. You know, it's interesting. The Carters, they, after the first date, Jimmy Carter went home and told his mother, you remember Miss Lillian, told her that Rosalynn Carter was going to be the girl he married. And then they were married on July 7th, 1946, at the Methodist Church there in Plains, and then became Baptist later on. But there you go. They say the secret is to marry the right person. Well, I guess, yeah, that's really no secret.
Yeah.
Well, Laura,
a lot to do with it.
That's true. That's a good point. Well, Laura, congratulations on you and your husband and the big anniversary coming up. And we're going to put you on hold, and Grace is going to get your information, and we're going to send you a little prize in the mail. All right. And we'll try to do some more trivia later on today. But congratulations to Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter down in Plains, Georgia. You know, you can say what you want to about Jimmy Carter's politics, and I've done that a lot over the years. But this is a guy who loved his wife, and they've got a great marriage. And it's always good to see those marriages that last through the good times and the bad times. And they still live in the same house that they moved to when they got married down in Plains, Georgia. And again, that's just a good reminder for all of us that, you know what, you don't need a lot to have a happy life in this country. You know what I mean? All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So there's a story we talked about yesterday, and I want to go back and revisit this because it's causing a bit of national outrage. There is there's a bodega in New York City, and that's basically what they call convenience stores in New York City. And if you've ever been to the Big Apple, you know that typically those bodegas are owned by people who have just moved to this country. So a lot of international people, new people to this country, and they just work hard. You know, they're family businesses, and you got the mom and the dad and the kids and grandma and grandpa. Everybody works in the bodega business. That's just the way it goes. So there is a fella by the name of Jose Alba, and he is 62 years old, and he is in jail right now. The other day, a woman came in, and she could not afford a bag of potato chips. She stormed out. First of all, he tried to get the chips back because she couldn't pay for them. So she pulled a knife out of her purse and then called for her boyfriend. So the boyfriend comes running into the store, gets behind the counter, and starts attacking Mr. Alba. Mr. Alba pulled out his own knife and ended up stabbing the boyfriend, and the boyfriend died. And so now the bodega owner is in jail. He's facing he's facing murder charges. He's facing a $250,000 bond, and the family doesn't know what to do. There is a hashtag Free Jose Alba campaign, and people are very upset. Now, the district attorney, if you're a regular criminal thug and you're going around beating people up, shoving people on the subway tracks, they let you go. You don't even have to post a bond. You promise to show up in court, and boom, you're out. But here you have a hardworking man, a family man, been in the neighborhood for 30 something years, no criminal record, and you've got this punk thug who, by the way, is a career criminal, and he comes in, tries to beat up Mr. Alba, and now Mr. Alba is in jail facing murder charges for simply defending his life and his store. Now, the family's launched a GoFundMe page to help pay for his legal bills, but GoFundMe removed the page. Why did they do that? Over the weekend, Mr. Alba was arraigned on second-degree murder charges. The district attorney, the far-left district attorney, asked the judge to set the bail at $500,000, and the judge said, well, that's too high. We're going to go with $250,000, and that's still too high. The guy shouldn't even be in jail. And this is pretty pathetic. Going back to the incident itself, the woman's debit card was declined as she tried to make the purchase. And then that's when he said, look, if you can't pay for the merchandise, you gotta give it back. And that's when she pulled out the knife and called the boyfriend for backup. So my question is, why isn't the girlfriend in jail? Why hasn't she been charged? If it hadn't been for her actions, the boyfriend would still be alive. But this is where things are in New York City right now, where the good guys are the bad guys. Regulars who shop there at Mr. Alba's bodega call him a hardworking father. He was getting ready for retirement, and he was looking forward to going back to the Dominican Republic to visit his family. He worked at the store every day from noon to 6 a.m. just to make an honest living. Locals say that the store owner has been the victim of countless robberies and burglaries and shoplifting. Said one guy even showed up with a gun, held up the whole store. So in Mr. Alba's defense, there was no way of him knowing if those people had a gun. They had knives. No way of knowing if they had guns. Do you think Mr. Alba should be charged? It's a very simple, straightforward question. Do you think he did anything wrong? Looks to me like the bad guy got what he had coming to him. Pay for the potato chips. Don't have the money, no potato chips. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls on that coming up after the top of the hour news. But the dead guy has a very long criminal record. And honestly, folks, seems to me that Mr. Alba made the right choice. He could have either lost his life or he could have gone home to be with his wife and kids. He went home to be with his wife and kids, and now he's in jail. And I think that's pretty pathetic. All right, folks, we've got a great, great show coming up for you. Our good friend Congressman Chip Roy on the way. We've got some breaking news about the border. Also, Dr. Ben Carson is going to be here. He's launching a fun children's series, and we're going to tell you all about that. Lindsey Keith from Newsmax is going to drop by as well. Stick around, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So glad to have you with us today. I want to go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We've got a lot to discuss with our good friend, the great congressman from Texas, none other than Congressman Chip Roy. Congressman, good to have you back on the show.
Todd, good to be on. I hope you're doing well.
I am, Congressman, and I am encouraged, somewhat encouraged, to hear so many local Texas leaders and officials that are now calling for the governor to declare an actual invasion has occurred in Texas. You've been down there on the border. What are you seeing, and are they exaggerating the concern?
Well, they are not, and in fact, I was with a number of the county judges, county attorneys, and sheriffs in Brackenville, Texas, day before yesterday at the press conference in which they were calling for the declaration of an invasion. They were declaring it themselves. Only the governor has the authority to sort of execute on that, but they're calling for it. I agreed with them. I spoke out in favor of that. I had been at Eagle Pass that morning where I had visited with Border Patrol, had been down on the Rio Grande. I personally witnessed approximately 400 migrants who were coming in, almost entirely all from Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Colombia. And when I talked to them, I asked them, you know, did you use coyotes, cartels? Yes. How much did you spend? It varied several thousands of dollars to $10,000. There's no question. And more than that, Todd, the processing facility, I think I might be the first congressman that's seen the brand new processing facility that's getting ready to open. It is slated to basically just expedite processing. They are processing through Eagle Pass, through the Del Rio sector down there. They're processing something like 1,300 to 1,500 people a day. And none of those are being turned away. They're being released into the United States. And they're not even claiming asylum. They're literally just taking their papers, processing them, releasing them with a notice to appear or through parole. You can't even make up what's happening at our border, Todd.
You know, one of the areas of grave concern has to be those private ranch owners down there. I mean, they're miles away from the nearest law enforcement. So if they've got these people coming onto their property, they have no idea who these people are or what they're capable of doing.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, after the event that we had in Brackettville, there were a number of people there who represent the ranchers. I had a number of text messages from ranchers throughout South Texas who were dealing with this on a daily basis. You know, they find migrants' bodies on their ranches. It's a horrific reality. The sheriffs, you have to have mobile morgues to deal with the bodies. I think there are upwards of 1,000 or so migrants who have died throughout South Texas in the heat over this fiscal year. And that's the truth. And they're in danger, and their fences get cut. They're high tensile fences with their livestock. Some of them have game ranches, you know, deer and stuff. It's damaging their economy, undermining their safety. Their kids have to go out on the ranches with weapons. You've got shootouts where there's bullets that are flying even in small towns in South Texas. The cartels are empowered. making tens and hundreds of millions of dollars, moving these human beings for profit. And it is an invasion specifically because Americans are in danger and dying from the fentanyl pouring into our communities. We have known terrorists or people with terrorist ties that are being released into the United States, or certainly that are coming into the United States through the gotaways, that are the known gotaways, because Border Patrol is so slammed processing migrants in total violation and disregard of federal law.
So, again, there is some responsibility that Governor Greg Abbott has here. What is he waiting on? Have you had a chance to talk to him at all?
So I've not spoken to the governor lately. It's been about a month and change since I last saw him. But I want to say two things at the same time. First, the governor, Governor Abbott, has done more than any governor, I think, in history to align with trying to support Border Patrol, taking the dollars the Texas legislature put forward, like $3 billion, that's with a B, that we're not supposed to have to do. It's a federal responsibility. And then deployed our DPS troopers, deployed razor wire, deployed containers. We're intercepting drugs and narcotics. And Border Patrol are grateful, and it is making at least a difference, at least with the fentanyl and trying to stop some of the traffic while Border Patrol is overwhelmed. But I do believe we need to declare an invasion and execute on it, because the federal government is abandoning the responsibility, endangering Texans. And at the end of the day, it does not matter how much razor wire and containers and blocks you put up. They're going to put ropes, you know, put, rugs or towels over the razor wire, climb over. They're going to come on in. And once they're in the United States and Border Patrol has them, they're releasing them in the United States. And it's a magnet drawing more and more people from all over the world. The numbers are staggering, staggering. Jay Johnson in 2014 said 1,000 a day was a crisis. We are at 8,000 a day, and they're just rolling into Eagle Pass in groups of 300, 400, 500. Bill Malugin put up another video yesterday on Fox of 500 pouring across the border. The word is out. You come to the border, you claim. You don't even have to claim asylum. You just come in, show your papers, and you get released.
Yeah, I mean, and then with the Supreme Court's decision on the Remain in Mexico policy, I mean, I can't even imagine what the scenes are going to be like down there at the border, Congressman.
With the possibility of the likely end of Title 42, with the Migrant Protection Protocols, the Return to Mexico program that President Trump put in place, which was those two things were what were driving the numbers down 2 years ago, with those all lifted, it is a wide open, come into the United States, you know, get out of jail free card. You are released into the United States, and everybody in the world is learning that and figuring it out. And then they're doing it, and they're enriching cartels. They are undermining our countries, our neighbors to the south, the Northern Triangle, South America. It's kind of a brain and labor drain. And they're coming here, but Border Patrol is overwhelmed. And I can't overstate the 850,000 gotaways. That's the known gotaways that we've seen on camera that we did not intercept, that are coming into the United States without being processed. And who are those? What kind of actors are we talking about? We've been intercepting gang members. We've been intercepting people who commit crimes, rapists, murderers, dangerous individuals, and at least 42 to probably now 50 people known to associated with terrorist sponsor states. It is unacceptable. Texas needs to recognize that it's an invasion. We need to act on it. The founders gave us that power in the Constitution. Jonathan Turley is dead wrong when he says, well, that meant an invasion with an army. No. Go read the definition of invasion. And they use that word, and there's no way the founders would have said, oh, sure, Texas, you just sit back and take it on the chin while armed cartels drive fentanyl into your communities, killing your kids, killing your family members, and, oh, by the way, allow terrorists and known gang members to come into your state. There's no way that's what the founders meant when they gave that provision to the state.
Congressman, sitting back and analyzing this and trying to understand, because the Biden administration knows every single thing you just said. They know that. What do you think the end game here is? Why do you think they want all of these people to flood into our nation?
It is the new liberal world order, right? We know this because they said so. They do not believe in sovereignty. They do not believe in borders. They do not believe in the rule of law, that there's any kind of limit. They believe that anybody can flow across the world and go wherever they want to go. And the reality is, when you have a sovereign nation, and particularly to quote Milton Friedman, who said, oh, I'm fine with open borders if you get rid of the welfare state. But when you have a welfare state and you attract people from all over the world, and then you're going to flood the zone into your healthcare and your education systems, and you're going to allow all sorts of people with all sorts of backgrounds that have criminal histories and affiliation with terror states to come into the United States, and you're going to allow dangerous narcotics like fentanyl, right? You're undermining our national security in the name of this liberal world order where everybody can go wherever they want to go. But that's the truth. It's not even necessarily about bringing in, quote, Democratic voters. Maybe that's what's driving them. I think they literally just don't believe in sovereignty. They don't believe in American exceptionalism. They don't believe that we should protect America and make sure that America stays strong for the betterment of the entire world. They want their liberal utopia. It's the same crap driving their green agenda. They just make crap up, and it undermines everything our forefathers fought for.
All right, Congressman, appreciate the update, and thank you for keeping paying very close attention to what's happening down there on that border. It's just absolutely appalling. And let's hope and pray that we move forward, an invasion is declared, and we can put a stop to this.
Amen. Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me on. God bless you.
All right, Congressman Chip Roy, he is in Austin, Texas, has been down at the border for quite a while. By the way, Bill Malugan from Fox was there, and he saw just hundreds of illegals pouring across the border. Let's take a listen to that.
You take a look. Our drone team shot this video just about an hour ago here in Eagle Pass. This was a single massive group of nearly 500 migrants who crossed illegally here in Eagle Pass. This was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, single groups we have ever witnessed during our coverage of this border crisis here in Texas. Border agents telling us this group was predominantly Venezuelans and Cubans, a mixture of a lot of single adults and family units. They were basically marched in a single file line to a Border Patrol processing area where agents are overwhelmed, and this is once again sucking up their resources, not allowing them to be elsewhere on the border to catch drug runners, cartel guys, that sort of thing. Take a look at the ground video we shot of the same group. You can get more of a perspective of how big this group was, and it's just more of the same for the Del Rio sector where we are. Just over the holiday weekend alone, the Del Rio sector Border Patrol had more than nearly 5,000 illegal crossings. That includes more than 1,800 just on the 4th of July. They've been dealing with these massive groups day in and day out. The Del Rio sector is a smaller sector with not as much infrastructure, so it really, really puts a lot of pressure on border agents. Then we'd like to show you this wild pursuit video out of the Rio Grande Valley. Texas DPS telling us their troopers were chasing a human smuggler in a cloned work truck. There were 20 illegal immigrants in that vehicle. He stops at the Rio Grande's edge, and they all bail out and start running in different directions. Shocking to see how many people he was able to fit into that vehicle. They go running all over the place. Many of them jump into the Rio Grande and swim back to Mexico. Texas DPS and Border Patrol only able to end up catching two of those people. The rest successfully made it back to Mexico. We had a chance to catch up with Texas Congressman Chip Roy. He says Texas is just fed up with the Biden administration's border policies, and that Texas shouldn't have to be dealing with the brunt of these policies. Take a listen.
Why should the people of Texas have to find dead bodies on the ranches? Why should we be the ones that have to have county attorneys figuring out how do we pay for and county judges how to figure out how to live while ranchers are getting overrun and migrants are dying? This is a complete violation of everything we stand for as Americans. We should be a country that exports the rule of law, not importing lawlessness and fentanyl.
All right, so Congressman Roy just a few moments ago brought up Jonathan Turley, who is a Fox News contributor, and Turley... And let me just say this. Fox News Channel is on the side of the illegal aliens here, all right? Just so you're aware. They are controlled, at least on this particular issue, Fox News Channel is controlled by the National Hispanic Journalism Association of America. And those folks are cracking down on any news organization that wants to have sovereign borders. And so that's why Fox has taken a turn on this issue. Anyway, Turley says, hey, look, you can't declare an invasion because that's not an invasion. Jonathan Turley says that when you're looking at Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, they're talking about an actual invasion of an army. Well, I would contend that what we're looking at is, in fact, an organized invasion of the country, an organized force that's coming into the country. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? Number one, is there an invasion of America underway? And number two, do you think Texas ought to fight back? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park, I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
All right, folks, welcome back. Hope you're doing good out there today. It is toasty in Memphis, Tennessee. Toasty really all over America. And they're saying about 2 million or so, or 20 million rather, people are in the line of severe weather or extreme heat or whatnot. In other words, just stay inside and crank up the air conditioner. All right, so Tucker Carlson weighing in on a story we've been covering for a while now. Military personnel are now being threatened because they refused to get that jab. They didn't want to get the China virus vaccine. And now many of them are facing the possibility of losing their benefits. Take a listen.
You look at their own numbers. The DOD has seen a threefold increase in cases and deaths on a monthly basis since the mandate was enacted. So since more people got vaccinated, a greater number have actually died or gotten the COVID.
I believe that number is real. And meanwhile, the United States military cannot meet its recruiting goals and so has lowered standards to a dangerous level and is thinking about recruiting foreign nationals. I'm not making any of this up, correct?
No, it's wild. And in fact, the Army recently put out a thing where they were going to go ahead and recruit people without even having GEDs because that's how bad their recruiting is getting. But at the last second, from enough backlash, they had decided to scrap that program. But all the branches, and they've talked about it in Congress, they've talked about it in newspapers, they're all struggling. I mean, the Air Force hasn't missed its recruiting goal since 1999, and they've already projected to do that this year. The Army was only at 40% of its recruiting goal just the other day, and it only has 3 months left in this year.
So my theory is we ignore the big things in favor of obsessing over the little ones. So destroying the U.S. military would qualify as a big thing. Do you not have a member of Congress? I mean, there are hundreds of Republicans holding federal office. None has come forward to stop this?
So there definitely have been some. I was on Matt Gaetz' podcast, and he's definitely been fighting for us. Thomas Massie has been fighting for us, Chip Roy. But there are only a few. You know, we need everybody. This is not a problem for tomorrow to be solved or the next day. This is a problem right now. You're talking about over 10% of your military is looking to be canned right now. I mean, if I were China or I were Russia, I'd be chomping at the bit right now.
God, this is...
And
It's beyond belief.
It's also wild that they've only been granting religious waivers to members who are already separating, already out. That does no good for the member. The member's already gone. And I think it's very ironic that, you know, Secretary Austin was given a waiver by Congress to serve, yet he refuses to give any of us waivers to keep serving.
Oh, you mean the board member from Raytheon who now runs the military? Nick Kupper, I appreciate, I'm heartbroken to hear your story, and we're just really rooting for you. And I hope
someone helps
you in the final hours. Thank you.
All right, so according to military.com, the numbers we're getting, so far more than 60,000 unvaccinated National Guard and Reserve soldiers have been told they will not be getting any pay. They will not be eligible for any benefits. So the Biden Army is really playing hardball here. They will no longer be allowed to participate in their military duties. Basically, they've been cut off. An Army spokesperson says soldiers who refuse the vaccine order without an approved or pending exemption request are subject to adverse administration actions, including flags, bars to service, and official reprimands. If the soldiers continue to refuse the vaccine, the consequences could even be more dire. In the future, soldiers who continue to refuse the vaccination order without an exemption may be subject to separation. In other words, you could be booted out of the military. Now, the reality is there are a lot of people who have genuine religious reasons for not wanting to get the vaccine, very legitimate reasons. But as we now know, the chaplains have been instructed by the Pentagon to counsel everybody against claiming a religious exemption, so that you have the Pentagon literally telling religious chaplains your religion does not cover that. it's they're just making it up as they go along here, folks. 844-747-8868. I would love to hear from a soldier who decided not to get the vaccine. That's 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is our website. Hey, sign up now for our newsletter and our podcast. We'll be right back, America.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have our good friend, Dr. Ben Carson, with us. Dr. Carson, hope you're doing good today.
Doing very well. I hope you're doing well, too.
No, I'm really not, Dr. Carson. It's like 101 degrees in Memphis. It's it's just too hot. Too hot, Dr. Carson.
Stay inside.
I got the air conditioning, the sweet tea. I think that's about as good as it's going to get.
Well, let's hope we don't run out of energy at some point.
Yes, you've got that right. Dr. Carson, I'm very excited to talk about this new project you've got going about raising up that next generation of American patriots. And that's something that Ronald Reagan was so strategic in talking about, the idea that American exceptionalism starts at the supper table, not in Washington, D.C. And you have launched this incredible new curriculum. It's called the Little Patriots Curriculum. And I want you to tell our listeners about this great program and these great books and materials for moms and dads.
Well, you know, during the COVID pandemic, we saw a lot of errant material being presented to our children and indoctrinating them and giving them exactly the wrong history of our country. And we decided, rather than just talk about it, let's do something about it. So American Cornerstone Institute, which is a think tank slash do tank, we actually do things about it. So that's how the Little Patriot Program became created, recognizing that, you know, that young mind is really absorbent like a sponge. And that's the reason in the Bible it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart from it. That's the reason that even our enemies, like Vladimir Lenin said, give me your children to teach for 4 years, and the seed that I sow will never be uprooted. So we want to make sure we sow the correct seeds there and teach them the principles. And with the launch of this also comes our new book called Red, White, and Blue, Our Flag Matters to Me and You. Starts out with a little kid finding a tattered and torn American flag on the ground. And then Liberty Eagle, who is the character in all of these adventures, explains to him what the flag stands for, what the red is, the white, the blue, the stars, the stripes, about all the people who've sacrificed, and why we should be proud of that flag and proud of our country, and we should stand for our flag. We don't denigrate people who don't want to stand for it, who want to kneel for it, and who want to denigrate it. But we make sure that our children understand that there's a lot to be proud of in the nation. And all the proceeds from the book, Red, White, and Blue, go right back into the program. The program itself online, littlepatriotslearning.com, absolutely free of charge. And it's a new educational cartoon series for kids 4 to 10 years old. And they get to really discover America, a lot of fun activities. The cartoons were made by real professionals that we hired from Pixar, Disney, who were non-woke people, by the way. It's captivating, and we have things that you can print out so that if you're going in the car, and you can take all these activities with you.
I just love this, and it's so well done. And
it's free.
And it's free. That's even a lot of moms and dads perked up when they heard that. I'm curious, though. You know, a lot of the materials coming out are meant for adults or for kids in high school or college. Why young people? Why all the way to kindergarten? Why start that young?
Because that's when the seeds need to be planted. That's when they develop their real sense of who they are. And, you know, we want them to understand those principles that made this into a great nation. So, you know, we emphasize our faith, liberty, community, and life in those programs. And we have Liberty Eagle, who has a right wing and a left wing. Can't fly with two right wings, can't fly with two left wings, but together can soar majestically. We emphasize the importance of respecting other people, even if they don't agree with you, because this is, I think, what is threatening our country more severely than anything else right now. We can't be brought down by Russia or China or Iran or North Korea, but we can be brought down from within. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So we really emphasize the unity and learning how to respect other people's opinions. Even if, you know, they may be wrong opinions, everybody thinks that their opinion is the right one. We need to, if you live in a diverse society, my way or the highway just doesn't work.
Dr. Ben Carson's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and it's an incredible series of programs and learning materials for small kids to teach them really what it means to be an American citizen. And Dr. Carson, one of the things I really appreciate, I know a lot of moms and dads are going to appreciate, is that they're also teaching guides to help parents and also educators take their kids through the material.
Every month, a new episode comes out with its own set of teaching guides. And, of course, you can go back as far back as you want to go back. And the materials are done in such a way that it's a fun activity for the kids. They actually enjoy it. And, you know, we beta tested it early on and got a tremendous response, and that sort of gave us some direction in terms of which way we should go.
LittlePatriotsLearning.com is the website, LittlePatriotsLearning.com, and we have a direct link on our website so you can get information on obtaining this new book, Red, White, and Blue, Our Flag Matters to Me and You, The Star-Spangled Adventures. Dr. Carson, I've always been told that writing for children is actually more difficult than writing for adults. What's that process like?
Well, you know, we actually talked to children as we were doing it and got their opinions and saw what really appealed to them. And it's actually very valuable because we all think that we were kids at one time, so we know how they think. And but it's different. It's very different
than
it was 50 years ago, I got to tell you. So, but also, you know, my whole career as a pediatric neurosurgeon, you know, I spent a lot of time with little children and getting a sense of how they think. And also our co-writer, Valerie Funstein, was a teacher. And so a lot of input there. And we are so fortunate to have some just tremendous people who sponsor all of this and help us to be able to present it free of charge.
Love it. Well, Dr. Carson, we're going to leave it there, and congratulations on this great new project. It is so vitally needed as we're raising up that next generation of American patriots. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being a patriot.
All right, Dr. Ben Carson, everybody, and the new project called Little Patriots, LittlePatriotsLearning.com. That's LittlePatriotsLearning.com. And there's some great resources for all you moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. And if you are a school teacher, these are some great materials that teach kids in a very creative way. And the artwork and the cartoons are just amazing. But they teach the cornerstone values of our country, faith, liberty, community, and life. And I'm just so excited that Dr. Carson has put this great project together. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Can I tell you about our friends at Life Change Tea? Life Change Tea is an amazing, natural, and gentle tea that you can use daily, and it's going to make you healthy. You're going to feel better. You're going to look better. You're going to feel great. I drink it every day, and it is the right combination of 12 herbs. Comes in 3 delicious flavors: natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. Life Change Tea has been around since 2007, and it's made right here in the USA. It's super easy to brew. Just keep it in your fridge. You can drink some every single day. That's what I do, and especially with the heat and humidity, whoo, geez, a loo. That's why I drink Life Change Tea every single day. They've also got a great summer sale going on just for listeners of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Buy 3, get 1 free. So go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com and order your delicious iced tea. Now, if you type in my code, Todd10, they're going to give you an additional $10 off plus free shipping. That's over $50 in savings. Getthetea.com. Use the discount code Todd and the number 10. You're going to get $10 off plus free shipping and their awesome big summer sale. Buy 3, get 1 free.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
All right, this news just coming in. Sad news in the world of Hollywood. James Caan has passed away. He was the star of The Godfather. He played Sonny Corleone, Santino Corleone. They call him Sonny in the movie.
I know him from Elf.
And he was also from Elf. Thank
Sorry.
You. I don't want to have, I can't say Godfather and Elf in the same phrase.
I had to help you out.
But he was the dad. He was the dad in
Buddy the Elf.
Of Buddy the Elf.
Mm-hmm.
So he fathered the elf, who was actually a full-grown human.
Yes. Not now. Just not to be confused with the father of Buddy the Elf from the North Pole that was an actual elf. That was the adopted situation.
I have no idea what you're
Everyone
talking about.
Everyone who has seen Elf knows what I'm talking about.
No. Bob Newhart was the actual elf.
Correct.
But he was the adopted father.
Correct.
All right. Thank you, Grace.
Thank
All right.
You,
I'll bring you back in on that. Thank you, our elf correspondent, Grace Baker. Anyway, James Caan, Godfather, my favorite movie of all time. And I've been watching there's been a great series about the making of The Godfather on Paramount called The Offer. And it's based on a book about how the movie came about and how they actually had to really go to the mob there in New York City and get their permission to have the film made. It's just a fascinating story. And if you haven't seen the Paramount series, you really ought to do that. It's really entertaining, very well done, and all the characters are just spot on accurate. But anyway, James Caan, he was, 82 years old and passed away, the family putting out a statement. But James Caan sat down and did an interview with the New York Post, and he was talking about when they were filming The Godfather, how they just really, a lot of the stuff they did was just improv. It was a spur of the moment thing. You might remember the scene where they're having the wedding, which I believe was shot at a mansion, at a home in Staten Island. And James Caan was, the FBI was out in front of the home and they were taking pictures during Connie's wedding. And all of a sudden, Sonny Corleone's character comes running out and he grabs the camera and he's smashing it to the ground. And that's when he takes all this money out of his pocket and just throws it on the ground. That was all unscripted. That Sonny Corley or James Caan just made that up. And it was really one of those brilliant moments that just made it truly the best film of all time. And Grace Baker, in one of the rare instances of a sequel actually being better than the original movie, it was The Godfather 2.
I am ashamed to say I haven't seen either.
Please do not tell me you have not seen the Godfather movies.
Nope. I don't have them. I don't know where to watch them. I just haven't done it.
Grace.
I'm sorry.
It breaks my heart.
I know.
It breaks my heart.
I know.
But anyway, some incredible superstars came out of that movie, and James Caan's character was just, he just delivered a home run.
Well, he was great in Elf, so I'm sure he was good in that too.
Please stop, Elf. Jeez, Lou.
It's an American classic.
Well, and as is The Godfather, but I'm not sure on the list of top, the Rolling Stone magazine's list of all-time movies, I'm not sure where Elf is on the list.
It's got to be on there somewhere.
Is that sort of like your generation's The Christmas Story?
Yes.
Got it. All right.
Just in terms of popularity, yes.
All right, very good. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the creator of Friends is still apologizing. And, you know, a couple of days ago, we brought you this story where they were all upset because all of the friends on Friends were white. And so the creator of Friends from back in the 90s went out of her way to apologize and say, we're sorry, we should have had more minorities on the show. And now... So she's apologizing for the lack of diversity. She's offering a $4 million reparation check. And now she's apologizing because she was apparently inappropriate with a transgender character back on the Friends show. So now she's apologizing. Can you just stop? Just stop. Just stop. Let's go to Patty in North Carolina, WSIC, wants to weigh in on The Godfather. Hi, Patty.
Hey, Todd, listen, I grew up, you know, remember when Sonny got shot like a million times at the toll booth?
At the toll booth, yes.
I lived not too far from there. I lived in Jersey City.
Is that right?
Yes, I grew up in that area. Believe me, I'm not going to say any more over the phone, but I live in North Carolina now. But you know what? I grew up around that era. I remember the whole thing. I remember that's a great movie. Grace, you better see it. It's very good, and you're right. The second one was better, but you know what? It wasn't even like a movie. It's very real.
It was about, and if you watch this, Patty, they've got this great special on, it's a series on Paramount called The Offer, and it tells the whole backstory. It's really fascinating. It's a fictionalized account of the backstory of how the movie came to be. And one of the reasons that the movie was so successful, it really wasn't about gangsters. It was about family. That's what it was ultimately all about.
Very, 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 and Michael Corleone, who was supposed to be the good boy, became nastier than the father.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
And not only that, though, another thing I want to throw at you, I was born in Jersey City, but I was born in the same hospital as the Sinatra kid.
Is that right? So you know,
yes,
you've got all these connections.
I was born at Margaret Haig Hospital in Jersey City, New York. It was named after Mayor Haig. I was born in that hospital. I'm 62 years old. Nancy's a lot older than me, but I was born in the same hospital. I know that whole Bayonne, the whole area. I know everything about that area, Holland Tunnel. We grew up all around that.
Well, it's amazing, and I'm always fascinated. When I was living in New York, I would be walking around, and I'm like, oh, I remember this from that movie or this movie, and it was just a regular thing to have movie crews or TV crews set up on your block, you know, filming a scene for a TV show or something. Fascinating.
Right, and you know what? It grew, like I said, you know, growing up in Jersey City, there's a lot of good actors that came out of Jersey City. A lot of good people came out of Jersey. Good actors.
A lot of good people came out of Memphis, too, Patty. So, hey, got to run, Patty. We got to leave it there. But anyway, good people coming out of all of our towns. James Caan, pray for the family, folks, but he passed away last night. All right, folks, stick around. Hour three of the Todd Stern Show on the way.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hello, everybody. Good to have you with us, hour three of the big show. By the way, coming up a little bit later on, Congressman James Comer from Kentucky is going to join us. He is fired up over these stories about corruption within the Biden crime syndicate, and he has some new intel, so we're going to be talking to him in just a little while. Right now, though, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and always an honor to have our friend Lindsay Keith from Newsmax TV with us, co-host of Spicer & Company. Lindsay, hope you're doing well.
Hey, Todd, it's good to be on with you. Our producers must be putting their heads together because we're actually having Congressman Comer on our show tonight as well. So I'll have to listen into his interview.
I love it. I love it. A lot going on, Lindsay, as we watch the Biden administration really collapse. There's a report out that they're losing staff members at a pace that exceeds both President Biden, or President Trump, rather, and President Obama. It's just unbelievable.
You know, it is crazy. You look back at the media when they were covering Trump or Obama, specifically Trump, and they would lose their mind when all these people would leave, because there was quite a turnover. You can't deny that. But there has been such an insane turnover, and everyone, I think, that voted for Biden thought that this White House was going to be more stable, more calm, and we're seeing quite the opposite. It is very tumultuous. There are, I would say, you know, it's every other week that we have a report out of the White House that there's conflicting messages or conflicts with staff, people quitting. And so this White House doesn't have it together like they projected that they would. You know, it's kind of funny to watch, but it's also sad because it just shows that they don't have their act together, and at the end of the day, not good for the American people.
No, not at all. And, of course, early on, I mean, there wasn't even a grace period. You had the Biden staff going after Kamala Harris's staff. Of course, the two recent big departures, you had Jen Psaki, and now the word coming out last night that Kate Bedingfield is leaving her job as the comms director, which makes you wonder what happens now, because my understanding is she played a very important role in getting whatever kind of messaging out there that they had.
That's right. You know, she was. I mean, she was on the campaign trail with Biden. I will say, you know, she's had a hard job. You look at the message that she's been having to sell for this administration. I was just listening to a clip from CNN today where they were saying people are getting tired of Biden's message of blaming the economy, by blaming gas prices on Putin. He needs to get a new message. And so you think about this calm staff, what they've had to go through. They haven't been able to sell a good message. You look at how Karine Jean-Pierre is doing. She's not able to respond from the podium because they don't have a good message, and they just keep trying to point fingers at each other. We've seen that is their playbook, point blame. This is the president who said the buck would stop with me, but he's not. And so you look at this departure of Kate Bedingfield, and you know, she's probably tired. You know, she's a mom. She's probably like, I've been doing this for, you know, almost 2 years since the campaign. I got to get out of here. But you think about that, too. When you haven't had successes, I think that wears you down more to see that you're just every day you're grinding and you're not able to see any fruit of your labor. It would be very frustrating, I think. And I think we'll continue to see even more exodus, Todd, between now and the midterms, because a lot of times, you know, in White House, they say, okay, you have a small window to get out before midterm because we need to be focused. So I actually think you might see more people starting to leave as well. It maybe even in the next week.
What I find interesting is the attacks now coming from the so-called mainstream media, CNN, MSDNC. These folks have pretty much been, you know, been providing cover for the Democrats, but even they have now turned, and that tells me that they've got major, major problems there within the White House.
Oh, major problems. And I also think, too, like you saw just, you know, yesterday, it was like almost every headline out there was how frustrated not only staff are with this administration, but Democrats. Biden's own party, he's not returning their phone calls. If that's happening, you can only figure how mad his staff is. They're like, hey, buddy, you got to do this. We need your help. And why ever he's not doing it, I don't know. But there's a lot of lack of enthusiasm from Biden that is really making this party frustrated to his own staff, Democrats. And then we saw even yesterday when he was on Ohio, people don't want to be seen with this guy. People don't want to be seen with Biden because it's not good for reelection campaigns. It's not good for their image. And they don't like his message. They don't like that he's not fired up. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, because either Biden changes something, Todd, which, I mean, can you teach an old dog new tricks? I don't know. Or he is just going to continue to get worse, which is kind of hard to imagine how in Ohio he has a 26 approval rating. I don't know how you get much worse than that.
No, and I mean, it's the worst approval rating in decades. Now you've got the strategic oil reserves that are at an all-time low, going back to the 1980s, I think the 1986. Even NBC News was reporting that the strategic oil reserves were down by about 40% based on where they should be. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, the problem is it's not just one dumpster fire. We're dealing with multiple dumpster fires here.
Yeah, and then there were reports out just last night showing that some of the oil from our strategic oil reserve, we knew that Biden was sending some of it over to Europe, our European allies. Obviously, when the Nord Stream 2 was shut down from Russia, we were trying to help our allies. But now there's reports coming out that some of our oil is being sent to Asia, to China potentially. I mean, this is terrible. One of the reasons that Saudi Arabia that OPEC couldn't produce more oil is because they'd already promised it to China, and now there's reports that our oil is going to China. I mean, this is unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up. But again, this administration's failures are really hurting the American people, and I think people are really, obviously people say this all the time, elections have consequences, but there was so much hope riding on Democrats who voted for Biden and even some Republicans that there would be normalcy, and we're seeing we're headed completely in the wrong direction. The crazy part is, we still have 2+ years of this guy.
Yeah.
We are not like, well, at the end of it, he's like done a ton of damage in just the first year plus.
Lindsay Keith from Newsmax TV on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Lindsay, you guys have one of the best in the business there as your White House correspondent, James Rosen. What insight is he giving you guys about the mood inside the White House and whether or not Biden is capable of turning this around, which I don't think he is?
Yeah, interesting. I was just talking to him last night, actually. James is great. He was saying, that he feels like he is, they don't want to ever come to him when he's in the briefing room. They won't talk to him. They're afraid of the questions that he's going to ask. He actually asked President Biden a few months ago about his mental fitness, and he felt like he got blacklisted after that. But, he suggests that the mood is not good, that there's a lot of, concern, and they're essentially hiding the president. Because they don't trust him. I mean, you see these clips of him stumbling when he's speaking or kind of seeming lost. And those aren't just, specific moments. I feel like that is his state of play right now. And that's why you look at the president's schedule, he doesn't have a lot on it, actually. He has a daily briefing every day, and then he might do one other thing, 2 max. This is the president of the free world whose schedule is seemingly open. And I think, James talks a lot about how you just don't see the guy that much. And then when they do put him out, obviously he's not taking questions, and they're not taking questions from Newsmax. They don't want to get any, serious questions because they don't have answers even for their softball questions that they do get.
All right, Lindsay, got to leave it there. We know you've got a busy day ahead of you. Appreciate the insight, and we will see you on Newsmax tonight.
All right. Good to talk to you, Todd.
Lindsay Keith, everybody, from Newsmax TV. And the headline coming out of that conversation is the White House staff is hiding Biden from the press because they're afraid of what he might say and what might come out of his mouth. It's really tragic. But do you believe that Biden has the capacity to turn this around? I'm not even sure that Biden understands where he is on some days. I don't think that Biden is, when he gets up in the morning, I think it takes him a couple of hours to figure out where he is and who he is and what he's doing at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And that is no joke. I think that's how bad things are. And I think Lindsey Keith is spot on accurate. This staff is terrified. They don't know what's going to come out of that guy's mouth, and there's no way they can control it. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, again, toddstearns.com. We'll be taking your calls on that. Can I tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile? They're America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and I love what they are doing. Patriot Mobile has incredible nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other guys use, but here's what they don't do. They don't give their money to support organizations fighting against the unborn. They don't give money to organizations fighting to take away your guns. That's why I love Patriot Mobile. By the way, they've got a plan to fit any budget, no matter how big or small, and if you're a veteran or a first responder, they're going to hook you up with even more discounts. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use the promo code Todd.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
So, yeah, I used the savings from switching to Progressive 50 years ago to finally buy my dream car. It's a self-driving flying car, but we just say self-flying now. You know, because it's the future, and cars fly in the future.
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. John in Kentucky. John, hope you're doing good. What's on your mind?
Hey there, Mr. Todd. You know, one of the things I noticed that they don't really talk about, you know, with Biden doing everything that he's doing, how this kind of economy is affecting are American citizens that are on a fixed income. I'm talking about people that are on retirements with their 401ks. I'm just talking about people with Social Security. Their Medicare rates have gone up to $170 a month to cover their medical costs, and the veterans that are on fixed incomes. A lot of these people are, and I'm talking struggling, where, you know, that they actually have, you know, like they got to make a decision. Do I drive my car? Do I get the prescriptions? Do I do this or do I do that? And that really, really makes me mad, especially, you know, like, I'm a veteran, and you know, like, I'm concerned about everybody, but it really, really gets under my skin, especially people that are from the greatest generation. They're the ones that made this nation free, and we have a guy that can't even remember to go to the bathroom when he has to go. And I'll hang up and listen for your comment. God bless you, Todd. Love your show.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. No doubt that people are suffering as a result of the Biden economic policies. And that's only going to get worse. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but elections do have consequences. But at the same time, what really should aggravate you is that illegal aliens are being given resources that are not available to the average American citizen. And we told you folks listening to us on WSJS about the thousands of illegal alien children that are going to be dumped in your community. They're going to be housing many of them at a beautiful, posh school that has been vacated. And that's going to be covered by your tax dollars. So while you struggle to feed your child, to clothe your child, to take care of your child's medical conditions or issues, the federal government is going to be using your tax money to feed and clothe and house illegal alien children. Now, you can have that debate about whether or not we ought to be doing that, but that's the reality of it. Your child is going without while illegal alien children are being provided for. That's the cold, hard reality. This item just in from Reuters, from Breitbart. They've got the story up. The Biden administration has been flying and driving minors out of Texas to other states so they can get abortion. Texas has outlawed abortion. And so the illegal alien children that find themselves pregnant are literally being shipped out of Texas. And they're, by the way, they're using our tax dollars to do this. According to the Reuters report, the Biden administration, they're exploring ways to provide abortion access for pregnant women and girls in U.S. immigration custody in states with bans. Many federal shelters for unaccompanied children apprehended in the U.S. are located in Texas, where a Republican-backed law that went into effect in September banned abortions at 6 weeks. For the past 9 months, U.S. health officials have been flying or driving minors from shelters in Texas to other states for abortions. Advocates say more guidance is needed now and fast. So who do you think is picking up the tab for that? Who do you think is paying for the gasoline for that car or for the bus ticket or the airline ticket? Who do you think is actually paying for the abortion itself? It's your tax dollars, everybody. Are you seeing what's happening here? U.S. taxpayers are literally paying for abortions, which, by the way, is a violation of the Hyde Amendment. And of all the things that we ought to be impeaching Joe Biden over, that's probably numero uno right there. Your tax dollars being used to fund abortion. And all of these people out there that were weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth outside the Supreme Court building, they were saying that abortion had been outlawed with the overturn of Roe v. Wade. No, no, no. No, it had not. And that was never the point of Roe v. Wade. The point of Roe v. Wade, it was bad law. And the Supreme Court just moved the issue back to the states where it belongs. But now to have your tax dollars being used to transport illegal alien children over state lines, that in and of itself is a crime. It is a violation of the Hyde Amendment, and Joe Biden ought to be hauled before Congress. That's what he ought to have happen. Your thoughts on this, ladies and gentlemen, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, I want to go back to this audio from CNN. A CNN reporter saying that most of the country, an overwhelming number of people in America, think we are headed in the wrong direction.
The polls show that Americans seem to be losing confidence in the country. A new Gallup poll shows that just 38% of U.S. adults say they are extremely proud to be American. That's the lowest point of the extremely proud rating since Gallup started asking that question back in 2001. Same poll shows the confidence in major institutions at the lowest point since they've been asking the questions. A Monmouth University poll found that 88% of Americans say the country is heading in the wrong direction.
And then when you look at what's happening, these reports like Reuters here that Biden's using our tax money to get airline tickets so they can ship illegal alien children out of Texas so they can get an abortion. That's appalling. You want to talk about marching on Washington? We ought to be marching on Washington for stuff like that. Just simply outrageous. And we'll be sure to ask Congressman James Comer about that when we bring him on. But he's very concerned about some of the allegations involving illegality within the Biden family, the crime syndicate, and deals that were made with China, what Joe Biden knew about this. Folks, it is unbelievable what the mainstream media is turning a blind eye to. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. All right, want to get right to this crazy story involving Joe Biden, his son Hunter, and a voicemail message. Keep in mind, Joe Biden said he knew nothing about his son's business dealings. Cut number 12, please.
Hey, pal, it's Dad. It's 8:15 on Wednesday night. If you get a chance, give me a call. Nothing urgent. Just want to talk to you. I thought the article, at least the thing on online, it's going to be printed tomorrow in the Times, was good. I think it's clear. And anyway, if you get a chance, give me a call. I love you.
Now, Peter Doocy over at Fox asked the White House press secretary about that voicemail. Here's how that went down.
Why is there a voicemail of the president talking to his son about his overseas business dealings if the president has said he's never spoken to his son about his overseas business dealings?
Well, first I'll say that what the president said stands. So if that's what the president said, that is what stands. And secondly,
about a New York Times article concerning Hunter Biden's business dealings, and he says, "I think you're clear." How is that not him talking to his son about his overseas business dealings?
We're not, from this podium, I am not going to talk about alleged materials from the laptop.
So
I will.
Are you disputing the president's voice on the voicemail?
I am not going to talk about alleged materials on the laptop.
Are
it's
you
not
disputing
happening.
Then that it is not?
Peter, I refer you to his son's representative.
All right, there you go. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Very honored to have with us from the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Congressman James Comer. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so you heard the voicemail message, you heard the response from the White House, and you've got a lot of grave concerns.
Absolutely. This is a pattern that we're seeing develop here. This is another instance of where Joe Biden was caught not telling the truth. He knew very well what his son Hunter was doing. He knew very well who his associates were, what countries they were peddling influence in, and he's not been truthful with the American public. We know also that Hunter Biden's a shady business character. But here's the problem, and this is why we're trying to conduct so much oversight. We believe that Hunter Biden is a national security threat, and we believe that Joe Biden has been compromised because of the fact that Hunter Biden has had too many shady business dealings with too many of our adversaries in Russia and China.
When you say compromised, in what way do you believe the president has been compromised?
Well, that's what we're going to find out, but I'll give you an example. Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's brother, Jim, they had various bank accounts that have had over 150 major bank violations, which are called SARs, suspicious activity reports, filed against them. SARs was put into place when George W. Bush was president to try to catch foreign money transfers into terrorist cells in the United States. If you remember, Saudi Arabia wired money to the people that flew the planes into the buildings on September 11th. That's how a SAR was born. Every administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, Obama administration, if you had an issue and wanted to know about suspicious activity reports in your district or in your state, any member of Congress, not just on the Oversight Committee, but any member of Congress could call the Treasury Department and get that information. When Joe Biden became president, in the dark of night, without consulting with anyone and for no reason, he changed that rule to where Congress couldn't access those suspicious activity reports. Well, now we found out that Hunter's had all these bank violations. I've requested the suspicious activity reports from the Treasury Department, and they say you can't have them now. That's one example. Then another example, and I'll cut it off here, but the sanctions that Joe Biden put on these Russian oligarchs, he left two names off the sanctions list. They just happened to be the two Russian billionaire oligarchs who paid money to Hunter Biden for, quote, consulting. So that's two instances, I think, that anyone would agree that Joe Biden made bad decisions to try to protect Hunter.
incredibly shady, and I smell a rat. I know a lot of other Republicans up on Capitol Hill are smelling rats. You are the top Republican on the House Oversight Committee, which is why you're on top of all of this stuff. And I know you've sent this letter to the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen. What information are you hoping to get from her that you have not gotten yet?
The information that every member of Congress over the last three presidential administrations could get when they requested it, suspicious activity reports from their district, from their state, or from on any particular person. Well, the particular person I've requested is Hunter Biden. And they will not give us that information because they said they changed the policy. Well, why did they change the policy? They changed the policy to protect Hunter Biden. And, you know, this isn't something that's complicated. This isn't something that's political. These suspicious activity reports were always meant to be transparent with members of Congress, to be able to work together as a team to try to root out corruption, money laundering, suspicious cash transfers, excessive cash transfers. That's what a suspicious activity report is. And to have over 150, I mean, I'm not ashamed to make this prediction that Hunter Biden's had more suspicious activity reports filed against him than anyone in the history of America. Because I've been a bank director, I'm very familiar with community banking. You know, I don't know anyone that's ever had more than one. But to have 150 from different banks, he had some bad stuff going on. That's why he's under investigation by the IRS and the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware. And I will tell you that the fact that Joe Biden and this White House will not talk about Hunter Biden and that they continue to do things to try to protect Hunter Biden, that leaves America in a compromised state. And that's why Republicans on the House Oversight Committee aren't going to let up.
Do you find it unusual or concerning that the Biden administration is literally sending oil from our strategic reserves to, of all places, China?
Yeah, that's one example. Another example, you know, he's talking about doing away with the tariffs, which I've never been a fan of tariffs, but well, let's have some debate on this. What's the long-term plan? Then the ultimate problem I have with some of his decisions with respect to China is, why doesn't he want to try to determine the origination of COVID? Why has he always defended China and said, you know, repeated what Dr. Fauci said? Oh, this is, there's in no way, shape, or form from the Wuhan lab. This is in no way, shape, or form man-made. When we on the Oversight Committee unearthed the emails that showed that in the very beginning, all of Fauci's advisors said that this is obviously from the Wuhan lab, because they knew what was going on in there. They were doing COVID research, and this is obviously man-made. They lied about American taxpayer dollars going to the Wuhan lab, which we figured out that they did through EcoHealth Alliance for gain-of-function research, which is illegal. So there's always been an attempt to cover up to protect China from the Biden administration on the origination of COVID. Look, Republicans on the House Oversight Committee, we're not saying the Democrats created COVID. We're saying China created COVID. Why won't this administration work with us to try to determine the origination and then hold China accountable? It's just like every time the administration, the Biden administration, has an opportunity to pick a side, they always end up on the side of China against what's best for America.
Now, Congressman, clearly there's not much you guys can do right now, being in the minority up on Capitol Hill, but should the Republicans retake the House of Representatives, what can we expect from the House Oversight Committee?
Well, you can expect Hunter Biden will get an invitation to come to the House Oversight Committee. If he declines, he will be subpoenaed. If he refuses to show up, we will have, at the beginning of the new Congress, a Hunter Biden hearing. We'll have his business associates there. We'll have these bank CEOs there. We'll find out exactly how many suspicious activity reports were filed. We'll have an exact definitive answer as to why they were filed. And we're going to try to take steps to determine, is Joe Biden the big guy? Was he getting a cut from all of these shady business dealings? And if so, that's a serious problem. And the American people you know, have been put at risk because of these shady business dealings from the Biden family.
All right, this is fascinating, and we're going to stay on top of this, and I know that you are as well. Congressman, let's hope and pray that the Republicans do retake Congress so we can get to the bottom of all of this.
Well, it's going to be a priority for me if I'm chairman of the House Oversight Committee. I think the American people deserve answers.
Yeah.
The Democrats never skipped any efforts to try to investigate the Trump family. They never found anything. I think we've already found them. More wrongdoing from the Biden family than they ever dreamed of making up on the Trump family.
All right, Congressman James Comer from Kentucky, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, there you have it. Yet another reason why Republicans need to retake the Congress so we can get to the bottom of all of this. You think Biden's the big guy? I think he's the big guy. And I think he's been getting a cut of everything that Hunter's been sending his way. Folks, we're all feeling the pain at the pump, at the grocery stores, too. The market is plunging, Americans living paycheck to paycheck, but it's even worse for senior citizens. It's not time to panic, though, but it is time to act. And that's why I want to tell you about my friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. They're going to help you save money on things like cell phone plans, travel, and restaurants. But AMAC does much more than just offer senior discounts. Your membership will support their nonprofit, AMAC Action. They take the challenges against our Constitution and a free market straight to Capitol Hill. Joining is very easy. All you need to do is go to amac.us/starns to start saving today. That's amac.us/starns. 2.3 million Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should too. amac.us/starns. AMAC cares about you and America, so save money and support conservative causes. It's only $16 a year, and great news, anybody can join no matter your age. Go to amac.us/starns.
We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
All right, Grace, I'm confused here. Who does Martha Stewart want to murder? I don't understand this.
So basically all the men she thinks are hot, they're married already, so she wishes the wives would die so that she could date the husband.
So, all right, so she's...
There you go.
She's doing an interview with Chelsea Handler on her podcast, Dear Chelsea, and she says that I guess she's...
She's been hanging out with Snoop Dogg too long.
Oh, dear. All right. Is he married?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, there you go.
Friends, Todd.
Oh, I see. All right. So anyway, she wants them to die. Not painfully, just die. That's what she says.
That's okay to say.
I see. I want to go back to this friend story. So Grace, so first of all, the creator, one of the co-creators of Friends is really traumatized, going through a lot right now. So she's already apologized for the fact that she created an all-white cast back in the 1990s.
Which, again, isn't entirely true, but okay, continue.
Well, no, but I mean, it's all the lead stars are
fair
all
enough
of the Caucasian persuasion here.
True.
And so now, I was not a fan of this show back in the 90s. It just wasn't for me.
Fair enough. I love it, but it's not for everyone.
And so anyway, I guess one of the characters, his father, Chandler.
Yes, so, Chandler. All right. Chandler Bing.
Chandler's parent is a transgender woman formerly named Charles.
So his dad turned into a woman. Ooh. That's what happened.
Okay. After he was born, I'm assuming.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. So anyway, now she's having to apologize for that. And she said that it was a mistake not to refer to Chandler Bing's parent, a transgender woman formerly named Charles, using she pronouns, saying, quote, pronouns were not yet something that I understood. What? Yeah,
in the show, it was, I mean, it was a joke that his dad dressed up like a woman and pretended to be a woman. So it was like, yeah, they still said like Chandler's dad. They never said, I don't recall them ever being like she.
Oh, yeah, here we go. We kept referring to her as Chandler's father, even though Chandler's father was trans. Who cares? Who really cares?
Listen, that show poked fun at everybody. You know what I mean? Just everybody. That's comedy.
Are they going to have to go back now, every TV show from the dawn of the TV age, and apologize?
That's going to take a long time.
Because there are not a lot of black characters in the early days of TV. So are they going to have to, I mean, do people just repent or, I mean...
Well, I feel like with this Friends creator, it's very self-inflicted. Like, I'm not saying there's not people out there that have probably attacked the creator about it, but, like, I've never heard anybody complain about that. So this feels very self-inflicted, you know, and also, like, crying for attention in my mind.
She did this interview with the BBC. Kaufman is the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know her pronouns.
We're just assuming.
So anyway, she says that she felt guilty because there was not enough representation of black people. And she said it was clearly part of systemic racism in our business. Well, no, it's her show. So if anybody's the racist, she's the racist. She's admitting she's a racist.
Ooh.
I mean, that's what it is. If she wanted to put black people in the show, she could have done that.
This is true.
So that's on
she
her.
Had the power.
Why don't her white friends have black friends?
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Last week, she told the Los Angeles Times that she was pledging $4 million to Brandeis University's African and African American Studies Department.
Well, I think she should just give away all her money. Just all of it.
I agree.
Well, what is it, $4 million? That ain't enough.
It's blood
just
money.
All of it.
It's blood money. It's all tainted.
Just give it all away.
Give it away. Go live in public housing. I don't think she's going to do that, though.
No, I don't either.
Do you think she's going to do that? I don't believe she will.
I think it's mostly for attention.
Now, the question now is, so she gives $4 million to the blacks for reparations. What's she going to do for the transgender people?
That's true.
I mean, it can't be less because, again, in the identity politics world, I still think the LGBT stuff trumps everything else.
I think that's mostly true.
So she has to be able to give at least, I don't know if she can match it dollar for dollar. I think she may have to double it.
Ooh.
So
I said,
$8 million,
give it all away. Solves the problem.
I agree. But again, I mean, if she's going to be fair, that means she's got to give $8 million to some sort of a transgender university.
Put your money where your mouth is, lady.
Berkeley? I'm just saying.
True.
So there you go. It's, you know, the sad thing is, it's just TV's not entertaining anymore.
No, they're too focused on that stuff to just write a good story. It's just like, come on.
By the way, that I was checking out the ratings, and the Minions, the new Minions movie.
Yes.
What's it called?
Minions. Rise of Gru.
Yeah, thank you. Minions is kicking Buzz Lightyear's butt.
Yep.
Now that, because that's, so it's woke versus non-woke.
Yeah, it's pretty much, I mean, it's just, I haven't even seen the movie. I haven't heard anything bad about it. I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
That's it.
But anyway, yeah. I mean, people don't want to watch, you know, what, gay Buzz Lightyear or whatever.
No.
I don't know. Is Buzz Lightyear gay in that?
No, it's the two ladies.
Okay. Oh, lesbian action.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, nobody wants to see that. And there you go. So way to go, Minions. All right, folks. Hey, tonight, Lars Larson Show. I'll be broadcasting all 3 hours. Look forward to hanging out with you there. In the meantime, head over to ToddStarnes.com. We've got some great stories for you to check out. Be good, America.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video.
Good boy!
Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow. Oh, wow!
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.